You're listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering.
Welcome and welcome back to Health Savvy You. It's another wonderful day to learn together, and today we are tackling another reason why science is trustworthy. We will talk about how science works hard, really hard, to eliminate bias when making decisions for our health. This episode is the seventh chapter in our second module, How Health Science Works. As always, I'm so thankful that you are here continuing on this journey with me to become more health savvy and more confident in separating noise from knowledge. And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the community. I hope you'll feel right at home and also check out previous episodes. All right, friends, let's dive into something that we all have but don't often talk about, bias. But before we get nervous, this episode is not about blaming anyone for being biased. We all have it. I have it. You have it. Bias is universal. And the truth is, it doesn't magically disappear when we put on a lab coat or call ourselves a scientist or a doctor. That's why it's important to learn about the bias we carry as humans and the kind that can sneak into science if we're not careful. First, let's talk about personal bias. Personal bias is like invisible lens through which we see the world. It's shaped by our experiences, our culture, the stories we have grown up with, and even our moods. For example, maybe we grew up in a family that swore by natural remedies for everything, or maybe someone we loved had a bad reaction to a medicine. These experiences subtly shape our beliefs about what works and what doesn't, even if we don't realize it. Personal bias is the reason why two people can read the same article and walk away thinking completely different things. Now, being a scientist doesn't automatically make us free from personal bias. In fact, it's very easy for personal bias to sneak into our work if we are not careful. Imagine a researcher studying a new drug. Maybe they have seen a patient suffer from conditions for years and they really, really want this treatment to work. That desire, even though it comes from a good place, can unconsciously influence how they interpret results. They might notice improvements more than side effects or be more forgiving of flaws in data. That's a classic example of personal bias meeting science. Now, scientific bias is a little different. It's not about our feelings or our gut instincts. Scientific bias is when something in the way we design a study, collect data, or analyze results lead us to conclusion that isn't quite right. Think of it like a hidden wobble in a scale. If the scale is tilted, no matter how carefully we step on it, the numbers will be off. Scientific bias can come from lots of places. Maybe the group we studied wasn't representative of the population. Maybe the way we measured something wasn't precise. Or maybe we unconsciously picked methods that would make our preferred outcome look more likely. And unlike personal bias, which we carry naturally, scientific bias is something we can detect and correct if we have the right tools and structures in place. Bias is natural, unavoidable, and shaped by our human experiences. The magic of science is that even though bias, personal or scientific, never fully goes away, the system itself is designed to catch it and correct it before it influences major health decisions. So let's get into the real work of how science finds bias and fixes it. Science is humble enough to know that it's not perfect. It assumes it can be wrong, and that's the very reason it keeps catching its own mistakes. There are entire toolkits, systems, and even traditions built to keep bias in check. Let me walk you through how that happens one step at a time. Science's first line of defense are technical checkpoints. When we think of a scientific study, we might imagine it like one big serious experiment where someone mixes chemicals or crunches data. But in reality, a good study is like a puzzle where every piece has to fit just right and those pieces are designed to reduce bias before the research even begins. One of the most powerful tools here is randomization. In simple terms, that's when we randomly decide who gets what. Say, one group gets a new treatment and another gets the standard one. This helps us to make sure the two groups are alike in every way except for that treatment. Without randomization, our personal or unconscious preferences could quietly sneak in, maybe accidentally giving new drug to people who look healthier or more motivated, which would skew the results. Then comes blinding. And I don't mean with eye patches around your eyes. Blinding means keeping certain people in dark about who's getting what, so expectations don't color results. If participants don't know which group they are in, and the researchers analyzing data don't know that either, it keeps everyone honest with no visual thinking creeping into the numbers. Then we have things like sensitivity analysis. Scientists test and retest the data in many ways to see if the results still hold up under different assumptions. It's a way of asking, what if you're slightly wrong here? Does the finding still stand? But even the best design can still have invisible bias. So scientists turn to more statistics to spot patterns that might look suspicious. Think of this as the magnifying glass part of science. Tools like funnel plots or regression-based tests are used in meta-analysis to see if results seem oddly one-sided. If smaller studies show bigger effects, or if some studies are mysteriously missing, that might hint at publication bias, where studies showing exciting results are published more often than those that don't. It might sound technical, but the goal is simple: to keep our conclusions grounded in evidence, not wishful thinking. Next, science being a group project, scientists keep checking each other's blind spots. A single scientist working alone can only see through their own lens, but put a group of scientists together, each from different fields, backgrounds, and experiences, that lens widens. This is how science manages the personal side of bias. We check each other's blind spots. For example, an epidemiologist might question the way a statistician coded data. Or a clinician might say, wait, this doesn't make sense in real patients. This healthy back and forth is a way of quality control. Many research teams even include people specifically trained to ensure data quality or ethics compliance. They use validation and cross-checking processes, like comparing data to hospital records or official sources to make sure nothing went off track. Think of it like having a friend double-check your math homework before you turn it in. And with newer advancements, scientists now use machine learning and stratification to spot bias. For example, they can check whether their sample is accidentally overrepresented certain age groups or geographic areas. Then they can adjust for that so the results are more balanced. But getting one's work checked doesn't stop with the team. Scientists also put it through the scrutiny of peer review. The study is done. The researchers think they have done everything right. But in science, that's when the real scrutiny begins. Before a study is published, it goes through peer review. This means other experts in the same field who had nothing to do with the research read it carefully, looking for weak spots, errors, or assumptions that might have gone unnoticed. They check the logic, the math, and whether the conclusions actually match the data. In recent years, science has added even more transparency. Pre-registration is a big one. Scientists now post their study plans publicly before they collect data. And yes, you can read them too. This prevents something called as horking, which stands for hypothesizing after results are known. In simple words, that's when researchers change their question after seeing what the data looks like, just to make it seem like something worked. By pre-registering, scientists tell us beforehand what they plan to do, how they'll do it, and what they expect the results would be. Then, when the results come out, anyone can check whether they stuck to the plan. There are also registered reports, an approach where a journal agrees to publish a study before it's done, based only on how solid the methods are, not on whether the results turn out exciting. That means studies that find nothing happened still get published, helping to fight publication bias. And once a paper is out, it's not the end of the story. Science welcomes ongoing scrutiny. Other scientists can replicate the study, reanalyze the data, or even challenge the conclusions. Trust me, doing scientific work with all this scrutiny is an intimidating job, but actually one of science's greatest strengths. Because when we allow others to check our work, we are making science stronger. And science learns as it goes. Science, as we learned in our last chapter, is self-correcting. When new evidence comes in or when a better method is developed, science updates its understanding. Every step forward in science came from scientists questioning old assumptions, testing new ones, and correcting earlier biases. In public health research, for instance, scientists regularly revisit older studies with new data. They use replication of studies to confirm whether results still hold true. If they don't, that's a sign something needs adjusting. And instead of hiding that, science publishes those corrections openly. But these are the ways for science to catch technical bias. Now let's bring it back to the humans inside it, scientists themselves. Because even with those checks and balances, there's still one last layer of protection that matters deeply, our own self-awareness. Scientists are people first. We come with beliefs, hopes, and stories that shape how we see the world. Maybe one of us lost a loved one to a certain disease, and we have dedicated our career to finding a cure. Maybe we have spent years developing a vaccine or testing a treatment, and we really want it to work. While those feelings don't make us bad scientists, they can sometimes quietly nudge us towards seeing patterns that aren't there or interpreting results a bit too hopefully. That's where self-awareness comes in. Scientists are trained to pause and ask if they're hoping for a particular outcome here or if their own story is coloring how they see the data. That kind of reflection might sound philosophical, but it's actually a practical skill. It helps us recognize when emotion might be whispering in the background and when we need to lean harder on structure and evidence. And that brings us to protocols, roadmaps built for objectivity. Structured research protocols spell out in advance how data will be collected, analyzed, and interpreted. They are like recipes that we agree to follow before we even turn on the stove. Once those are set, we are less likely to change ingredients halfway through. And of course, we have our teammates, people with different sets of experiences, stories, and ways of looking at life. Working with diverse teams is bias prevention. When scientists from different disciplines, cultures, and worldviews come together, they naturally challenge each other's assumptions. One person's blind spot is another's strength. Together, that diversity of thought makes science sturdier. Let me give a simple example. Imagine two scientists studying the same diet. One grew up in a culture where certain foods are considered super healthy, and the other grew up thinking those same foods are just hype. Their personal biases might lead them to emphasize different things in their interpretation. But when their studies go through peer review, replication, and rigorous analysis, those personal viewpoints are examined and balanced against the actual data. In the end, what comes out is something closer to truth and not what either scientist personally wanted to believe. So while bias can never be fully erased, science turns that reality into a feature from a flaw. It trains us to notice, to reflect, and to correct. And honestly, that's what makes science beautiful and trustworthy. But the most important question is, why does it matter for us to know how bias is treated in science? So let's talk about it. Why all of this matters? Not just to scientists, but to all of us trying to make sense of health information every day. In a world overflowing with advice, what to eat, what supplements to take, what miracle cure someone told you about on a podcast, can be hard to know whom to trust. It's easy to feel like everyone has an opinion and science is just one of them. But here's the difference. Science has guardrails. When scientists share information, it's after layers of reviewing, questioning, replication, and scrutiny. When someone without that background, say a wellness influencer or a person who wrote a book based only on their own story, or someone with limited education about how unbiased scientific studies are done, shares their advice, that system of bias checking simply isn't there. they are not required to prove that their claims hold beyond their own experience. And that's the real irony, isn't it? Sometimes people are angry at science for being biased or changing its mind, but those changes and corrections are exactly what makes it trustworthy. The self-proclaimed experts, on the other hand, rarely update their claims or admit when something doesn't hold up because there's no structure demanding that they do. When we get guidance from health scientists, what we're seeing is the result of a process that has been stress tested at multiple points. From design to analysis to peer review to public discussion, each stage is built to catch errors and challenge assumptions, a system that is never followed by health influencers. Unchecked personal bias, whether it's ours or someone else, can lead to real harm. We see it every day with dangerous health fads, fake cures, myths that spread faster than evidence ever could. Science checkpoints, even if they sometimes feel slow, are what keeps us safe from those biases-related mistakes. For those of us who want to be healthy, when we hear a health claim on our social media, it is our responsibility to pause and ask, what process did this go through? Was it reviewed and challenged? Who reviewed and challenged it? Science never asks for blind obedience. It wants you to understand that behind every recommendation, every vaccine, every safety guideline, every new treatment, there's a community of people constantly testing, questioning, and improving it on our behalf. It's how science shows it cares for us. So as we wrap up today, let's remember this. Science isn't just one person's opinion. Science has built-in structures to manage bias, and that's what makes it so powerful and worthy of our trust. Thank you for listening, for staying curious, and for walking this path of learning with me. If today's episode helped you see science in a new light, share it with someone who might need to hear it too, and give Health Savvy You a little love with your likes and reviews. In our next episode, we are taking on something that comes up all the time. The fascinating dance between ancient wisdom and modern science. We'll talk about how science isn't against ancient wisdom. It's just careful about what stands the test of evidence. I will bring it to you in 2 weeks. Until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.
Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way. See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.